You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Thursday. One more podcast after this one coming this week, as the Pelicans beat the Denver Nuggets last night, 123-114. And that score's a little bit closer than the game actually was. But this was a good win for the Pelicans. I'm going to break it all down for you here on today's podcast, talk about big performances from DeMarcus Cousins, from Jrue Holiday. We'll look at those guys. I also just want to look at Jrue Holiday recently a little bit because he has been playing some fantastic basketball. We're going to look at why, what's going on there, why has he maybe kind of changed his mentality. Dive into that a little bit deeper in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So last night's win was an important one for the Pelicans with their schedule coming up and with the way the standings are looking right now. The Denver Nuggets were ahead of the Pelicans in the standings. They got that win after the win against Portland the other night as well. That's two games right there that they've snagged from teams they need to beat to show that they can make the Western Conference playoffs. Because frankly, again, these are the guys on your schedule, so you've got to win to beat them. You don't really have a stretch where it's bottom feeding teams. And if there's some noise in the background, they're doing construction outside my house right now, across the street and building condos, and eventually we'll just have condos all over New Orleans. But with that win against Portland, the win against the Nuggets, and the loss to the Warriors, that's okay. 2-1 in those past three is a great stretch, especially with the Kings coming up tomorrow night. We'll preview that game tomorrow, by the way, on Friday. And then a winnable game against the 76ers on Sunday before two really tough games against on the road to the Rockets and then the Bucks at home before they go to take on then Denver on the road and the Wizards at home. So it's a bit of a rough stretch and isn't certainly going to be easy by any means. So getting these wins are important. And now the Pelicans have grabbed these two wins. They're essentially tied with Denver, Portland, and Utah for that fifth seed in the Western Conference, meaning these are the teams that are likely to get in. And maybe it's going to be a team like OKC, or I said Portland, on the outside looking in when it all comes down to it. But you got to win these games, and you can't just make the playoffs beating the bottom teams in the Western Conference, because frankly, there aren't that many bottom teams. And the Pelicans got off to a slow start last night against the Denver Nuggets. They were down 10 at one point where Denver was just feasting on fast breaks, but eventually New Orleans really kind of settled down. Denver in the beginning was lights out from three. I think they were 10 of 17 in the first half, something like that, an absurdly high percentage. And we've seen the Pelicans get buried that way. And I said Denver was going to come out and shoot threes, and you need to try and run them off the line and let them try and beat you inside and make those guards drive right into DeMarcus Cousins. And once the Pelicans settled down, that's exactly what they did. If you look, DeMarcus Cousins was a kind of a monster defensively last night. He had four blocks, but you saw him change shots more than anything else. And that's oftentimes more important than just blocking a number of shots. So it was a great defensive effort from him. The Pelicans shut down Denver, shooting two threes in the second half, and they ran out to their own 20-point lead. And they were led by some... We're going to talk about DeMarcus Cousins in the next segment, and then Jrue in the third. But overall, this is one of those good games where everyone's kind of stepping up for the Pelicans a little bit in the absence of Anthony Davis. Obviously, Cousins was huge. He had 40 points, 22 rebounds. Holiday was great, 27.7 assists. I'm going to talk about them next, and I think we'll focus on them in a minute. But Etuan Moore, who we discussed yesterday, not being appreciated enough. There you go, McNamara. Not underrated, not being appreciated enough. I kind of like that. 14 points was 4 of 7 from deep, keeping that hot shooting going. Just basically spacing the court. Cunningham even chipped in with 7 points. That was kind of big. He grabbed 6 boards too, which is, again, more than you really see him grabbing normally. So again, when he steps into that starting big spot or a backup big role, that's where he's most effective, not as a wing player, not as a three. We've seen that now. I think that's safe to say it was proven. Rondo didn't have a double-double, but chipped in with 11 points, was trying to drive and penetrate and then dish. He did have 7 assists, 6 rebounds. He's giving you just kind of filling up the box score all over on any given night. But 5 of 7 shooting with only 1 3-pointer made. He's getting to the rim. He's trying to get there. He's not getting to the line, but that's okay. But he wants to dribble and attack and break down the defense and force rotations and create looks for others there if it isn't for him. Omer Asik is Omer Asik, who's oddly enough having like kind of an important impact off the bench. Darius Miller was 2 of 5 from 3, 9 total points. You saw Tony Allen get out there and kind of almost ice the game a little bit with that bucket on the cut towards the end of the game. It was late in the fourth. Rondo drove, attacked, zipped a pass, or it was maybe more, to a cutting Tony Allen who scored on that kind of reverse layup. Right after that, the Denver Nuggets called a timeout. He had 8 points. So again, this is a team performance from everybody. The Pelicans are stepping up. It's nice to see we've worried that they were top heavy, that you can get these starters and big guys scoring major points, but they don't have people to kind of get them over the finish line is what I've been saying. They're starting to get people and have players play that are going to get you over the finish line. They limited their turnovers last night, just 13 on the night. Denver didn't punish them from that really outside of the first quarter. And overall just did what they needed to do. 56 points in the paint for the Pels is an excellent number. So good win. And after this break coming up, after the reset right here, we're going to talk a little bit more about DeMarcus Cousins. And then we'll discuss Drew Holiday right after that. So let's talk about DeMarcus Cousins and the monster game he had. 40 points, 22 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks, and he did this on just 25 shot attempts. He was 2 of 6 from 3 and 14 of 21 from the free throw line. It was just a brutally effective game from Cousins, and when you look at the shot charts and watched him play, he took one attempt outside of the paint and inside the 3-point line. And then when you really look at it even more, it was basically just one shot or 2 shots total outside of the restricted area and inside the 3-point line. So his shot chart looks absolutely fantastic and was looking just to score inside. And he did. Again, you don't score 40 points without getting to the line a good bit, or unless you're like a 3-point shooter, or, you know, just scoring inside and scoring effectively. And he certainly did that. He was also in position to grab a lot of his own misses and others' misses at the rim. And he had 7 offensive rebounds included in those 22 total. And the biggest thing was, again, with his shot selection being so strong, he wasn't reliant on that 3-point shot. He realized early on he could score inside, which meant he was going to try and work and get down low and get those points. So it helps, you know. He has enough of a 3-point shot that you don't hate it when he shoots. You maybe hate it in certain possessions when he rips one a little bit too early. But it does get the defense off balance, and they do respect him at the 3-point line. You saw in multiple Denver players when he got the ball up top looking to try and close out and jump to try and block a shot on a pump fake. And then he just, once the defender's off balance, puts the ball on the ground, drives, and scores. And once that happens, he's beaten his man. A guy's going to have to rotate over, and they're likely not going to be able to contain Cousins and try and block him because he's so strong. He uses his body so well, and he knows how to score at the rim. And again, that's one of the reasons why you get to the line 21 times. Most importantly, though, I think I'm quite happy with his composure tonight, and I don't want to harp on him and be like, be better or anything like that. I'm not going to do that. That was what they did in Sacramento. And I'm not writing an open letter to DeMarcus Cousins because I think that's foolish. I can certainly wish for some things, but I'm not going to write an open letter, which I think is a little much. Anyway, so he kept his composure late in the game. There was a big flop by Mason Plumlee when, after Cousins grabbed a rebound, he threw his elbows to kind of create some space and get the ball to the other side of his body. Doesn't even look like he makes contact with Plumlee, and then Plumlee flies backwards onto the ground holding his face like he got elbowed. And like, I think it was like a phantom flop, basically. It didn't happen. Or if it did, it was so light it probably didn't hurt him very much. And the refs went to review it. They eventually called the foul on Plumlee. He was ejected because he had 6 at that point, or was removed from the game, fouled out, whatever you want to call it. And that was nice to see. Cousins didn't lose it. There was then an offensive foul on the opposite end, which probably was an offensive foul. He did kind of catch someone with an elbow forearm there and just kind of walked back down. And he's been frustrated recently, I think, because teams have been trying to bait him into some of these technicals, into other things. And so I was just happy to see that it didn't work, and he's aware of it. He kind of hates it, and if I were him, I'd hate this as well, and I'd be just as frustrated. But you got to understand, this is what they're trying to do. Don't play into their hands, because it's exactly what they want. But I mean, this dude's so good and his talent is so immense that you're going to put up with almost anything. I'm not saying trade him because I dislike these technical fouls and all of the stuff that he's going through. I want to keep him because he's that damn good. And you see this talent, and this is why he's always going to be in the league, even if he's a headache at times. It's a headache you deal with, frankly, to, you know, kind of get this type of talent and player on your team. And, you know, for the Pelicans being in dire straits at, you know, around the trade deadline last year with no real great future, you got to roll the dice on a guy like this. And it's paying off. In the absence of Anthony Davis, he is leading this team and being the leader that people want him to be. We're happy to see that. We're happy to have him here. Again, 40 points, 22 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks, a big night for Boogie Cousins. So quick programming note for tomorrow. Podcast might come out a little bit later. It is the Saints taking on the Falcons tonight. Make sure you tune into the Locked On NFL podcast. Catch up on that. I don't think there's a Locked On Saints right now. But the Locked On NFL podcast is going to be talking about it. They'll be recapping the game tomorrow as well. So make sure you tune into that and get all your Saints news as well. Come on. We love New Orleans sports here. So we can't talk about last night's game without talking about Jrue Holiday and the exceptional play that he's had of late. But taking a look at last night, he was a big driving force after DeMarcus Cousins in this win. He scored 27 points, 7 assists, shot 12 of 20 on the night, just 1 of 5 from 3, but that was okay. And just had a very important performance. And we've seen this over the past number of games. And when you dive deeper, I think it's kind of obvious what's going on. And I don't want to say that it's just Rajon Rondo, because there's stretches where he's playing this well without Rondo. I think part of it has to do with the absence from Anthony Davis, actually. And I talked about it on the podcast the other night after Jrue Holiday had a big game in the loss to the Warriors, where I think he's just kind of free right now without Davis to attack and to try and score. And, you know, I was sitting next to my friend Tyler. I'm going to just reference this again. Hi, Tyler. And we were sitting there watching the game, talking about it. And it's like, if you were a role player or anyone not named Anthony Davis on DeMarcus Cousins on this team, would you feel comfortable driving 5 straight times to try and score or trying to take 5 straight shots or anything like that without getting the ball really to them? And I think the answer is no. These guys, the rest of the team, feel kind of obligated to get the ball to Davis or Cousins rather than them, knowing that these are the team's 2 stars. And when one's out, it maybe changes that mentality a little bit, that you're like, okay, maybe it's my turn to go out and score, or I need to go out and score. And I think this is what Jrue Holiday is going through. Last night, when you look at all of his shots, all were in the paint or from 3, except for 3 mid-range shots that he hit. And those weren't even terribly, terribly long mid-range shots at that. So he's out there scoring and playing very well, and it's because he's in that aggressive mentality to go out and score and to not worry about being a facilitator. And I think the reason he thinks like that and is attacking like this is because he doesn't feel obligated to get the ball to Anthony Davis, because Davis isn't there. He's only got to worry about one big in DeMarcus Cousins. And a lot of the stats and numbers kind of bear this out. So I wanted to kind of see how Jrue Holiday has played without Anthony Davis this year. And I ran it per 100 possessions. We're looking at just regular stats here because I don't want to look at team numbers. I want to look at his individual numbers. So per 100 possessions with Davis on the court, Holiday's averaging 18.4 points. Off the court, when Davis is off the court, that number jumps up about 9 points to 27.7 points. That's a lot. His field goal percentage goes up about 9% when Davis is off the court. He gets to the line more with Davis off the court, actually. And his three-point shooting kind of jumps through the roof a little bit more and goes from 22.5% to 34.7%. And one of the bigger things is his turnovers drop per 100 possessions from where I just lost it, 3.4 to 3.1. So that's really good. And the bigger thing, though, from that is his shot selection when Davis is on the court versus off the court. And again, this is per 100 possessions, so we're equalizing it here and not looking at it on a per-game basis, which will throw you off. But basically, per 100 possessions, Holiday is taking 7 more field goal attempts at less than 5 feet. Or, sorry, I want to look at the restricted area stuff. There we go. Same thing. So with Davis on the court per 100 possessions, Holiday takes 20.6 field goal attempts in the restricted area. With Davis off, that number jumps up to 27.5%. In the paint, not the restricted area, it's 17.5 shots per 100 possessions with Davis on. That number jumps up to 25.5 with Davis off. Mid-range attempts drop significantly. Above the break, threes increase. And the only thing that really drops is left corner threes. And there's a weird quirk in the numbers that I got to take a look at. But supposedly with Davis off the court, Holiday has not made one corner three while still taking a significant amount of them. That's a little weird to me, but besides the point. You can see with Davis off, it frees up a lot of his ability to just kind of go out and score and do what he wants to do and be that scorer, be that main guy for the team. He doesn't need to worry about getting the ball to one of the two bigs. I've written and talked about it extensively, how his spacing for him and how he wants to play isn't very great with both bigs on the court. Without one of them, there's room to drive into the lane, into the to the rim and into the paint. With both of them there, you know, it's not as much. Without them, he's got room. And it's kind of just as simple as that. And, you know, we were talking about this on Twitter just now. McNamara says it. The key to unlocking this whole puzzle is finding ways to have these guys make each other better. Right now, it seems like they're better without each other. They need to be able to maximize each player. Very, very important. And I don't know if they've gotten a way to do that. My hope is that Drew realizes how important he is to this team and that when Davis comes back, and by the way, that sounds like it's going to be, again, sooner rather than later, that he comes back and just still tries to be the same scorer. Davis and Cousins have both said they want him taking 20-something shots a game, even if it means they lose some of theirs, because that means this team is going to be clicking. And so hopefully that's what we see when Davis returns over the next couple of games. Right now, just enjoy how well Holiday has been playing. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans, a little bit later than normal today. But we'll have another one for you tomorrow, previewing the game against the Sacramento Kings. Another Boogie revenge game against his former team. That's going to be chippy and a lot of fun. And hopefully it won't be too cold here in New Orleans. So if we do get some snow today, be safe. If we get some snow tomorrow, be safe, I guess, as well. Stay warm. And I'm your host, as always, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow.